Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right here, you go to last 5 days, Fortnite. 14.4 hours on the screen.
That's gotta be
loser.
That's gotta be like
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me as always...
Ben Vanel here. Tommy, it's good to be back in the same room. We've been apart for a month because Adam had to go away for a while. We haven't addressed why that was, nor will we.
You told me he'd gone to live on a farm, so I'm actually shocked that he's come back.
I had a lot of good times on that farm.
Yeah.
I enjoyed myself. The farmer tried to shoot me a number of times.
He's learned his lesson.
Good morning is fucking right about video games because it's what, 4 PM real time? Mm-hmm. It's 3 AM somewhere, baby.
Well, yeah. We're sort of recording this at the time that we would have been doing it over Zoom.
A little earlier.
With jet lag, it probably feels to you like you're fresh out of bed.
Yeah. I'm all over the shop.
It probably feels like you're fresh in bed, right? Still in bed.
Yeah.
It feels fresh.
This is a dream. I'm going to review... The my least favorite teacher, the game they made, it's about me also being that teacher and looking in the mirror and realizing, oh no, I was the teacher. Mm-hmm. All my dreams have little twists.
Right, being in your underwear simulator.
Yeah.
That's one of the great dream video games.
Hamburger eating you simulator.
Teeth falling out, 2000.
Yeah,
You have the teeth falling out dream?
I've had it once when I was... extremely anxious.
Right, yeah. I have it all the time.
I think I've only ever had it once. A really common one for me is the needing the, like running and the like slow motion.
Oh yeah,
Joy-Con drift as you're trying to run.
Yeah.
I think my most common one is probably Pamela Anderson.
Okay.
Her teeth are falling out.
Yeah, and it really.
Oh yeah, brother.
Oh, baby. No, my most common dream at the moment.
Pamela Anderson. You haven't had a dream since the 90s?
No, I don't really remember my dreams. But if I did, I'd probably be playing Elden Ring in them.
Right.
Because for the last week, exactly, I've been pretty sick. I'm getting better, thankfully. But all I've been doing really is lying on the couch or in bed, watching stuff and playing stuff. And yeah, mostly it's been Elden Ring. And I can now reveal live on the show.
I was wondering what this huge cloth over the top of an indeterminate shape in the middle of the room was. But Ben's gotten up and he's going to yank it off.
This under this cloth is...
Hey, that's not the sheet that you're yanking off.
It is the platinum trophy for Elden Ring, which
I'm
one trophy away from.
Okay.
Big reveal. I am now worth $999,000.
Yeah.
I am almost a millionaire.
So you don't have that yet to reveal.
No.
But Xbox doesn't pop up with a thing going, you haven't actually gotten this achievement yet.
Sometimes they've got those ones that like track you've got 4 out of the 5 goals. Maybe that's on Steam.
True. Yeah. Oh, well, the PS5 has that thing where it's like, you're 1 hour away from blah, blah, blah.
Cards.
But the one that I have left is one of the 3 endings as well. So I've done like all the legendary armaments, all of the incantations, all the talismans, and like beat every boss.
It's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot of fucking stuff. I think I'm over 200 hours as well.
You'd have to, yeah.
It's the best game.
It is very good.
And it's great for that because I'm on like New Game Plus now. Well, actually, I'm in New Game Plus Plus. I'm in Journey 3. So it's so fucking replayable because, new enemies appear. They get harder to beat. You get more runes for killing stuff. It's been great for having the flu or whatever I've had.
I need to go back in.
Yeah.
Understatement of the century alert.
Hello, guys. Tommy here. I'm willing to reveal that I am moments away from getting my first trophy on Elden Ring.
Yep, the one that you get for booting it up.
Yeah. Have you been like following a guide or anything, or just looking at what they are called and trying to do the thing they say they should you should do?
I've looked at a trophy guide.
Yeah.
But that what that says is like these are the legendary armaments, and like a very vague like, and you get it from beating this guy.
Right.
So that's kind of it. Right.
So this,
yeah.
When you hit this platinum trophy, is that essentially that's like you 100%ing the game?
That is literally
basically
it.
What that is.
Yeah.
How many games have you 100%ed before?
One.
And what was his name?
Assassin's Creed 2, I remember. It's well, in terms of I got the platinum trophy. I may have 100%ed stuff on PC, you know, pre-achievement days.
Sort of stuff being tracked.
Yeah.
I've never been a trophy person for whatever reason, but have done a bunch of... So I don't think I've ever... I don't remember ever having gotten a platinum one.
You're a trophy husband.
Yeah, that's true.
Very
I'm dumb
true.
As hell, but fucking hot as
exactly,
shit.
Exactly,
yeah.
The sort of thing a dumbass husband would say.
I reckon you walk past the wine bar, the girlies are like, imagine bagging him.
Oh, absolutely.
How did
bagging him up and throwing him off a bridge.
That is what they mean when they say that.
That's what they say loudly a man that in public. But so well, not congratulations yet, but you learn the Asians after the end of...
And it's from both of us.
I've never been... obviously, I've only got one platinum before. Never been a trophy hunter, as it were. But I think I just love playing it so much that I finished it and was like, well, I want a bloody excuse to keep playing.
That's it. Yeah. Because some people have that even if they haven't been loving the game. They're just... there's a compulsion.
Yes.
I did it with Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was the same thing. Got to the end and just went, I'm not ready to put this down.
Yeah.
And it depends on the type of game, and also the type of trophies, because some of them are half-assed, and you see like the list of them, and it's like, oh, dude, 999 basketball hoops. Who cares? Not going to bother doing that. But if it's like Elden Ring, where it's logical things like beat every boss, get every weapon, do like go and find all of the content in this game,
experience
and then it's
the sort of
game where even if you are doing repetitive things, it's well made enough that it's satisfying to do those things. So
totally.
Yeah.
And knocking off, I think the incantations, because I've never really played mage builds, so I'm not using them.
Yeah.
But having to find them led me down to these new little quest paths and stuff, areas that I hadn't even seen in my first playthrough, which was, like a little bit shorter than the second one. It's been great to, it's a fucking massive game and there are areas you will not see unless you're looking for this, you know, one particular spell.
Right.
So, sick. Like, there's these old sorcerer guys who are all, like, interesting, you know, costumes and stuff and they hid themselves away from, you know, the shattering of the ring and it's like, you never see those, like, NPCs or whatever if you don't go looking for this stuff. And it's still, I don't think I've seen everything in the game. Like,
have you ever done the thing where you can respec your character and do a magic guy or whatever?
I haven't done it as a magic guy. I think I will for the third one through because I'm going to play it again just to get the ending.
I'm
skipping a lot of stuff. There's a lot of optional stuff that I did do the first time through.
You can go pretty quick if you're zipping. Like 20 something hours still. Relatively quick.
And you retain your like levels and stuff when you go through on a second time. So they do get harder in terms of the enemies, but I am that much higher leveled that it's still pretty easy. So I've respec'd once and then I respec'd back because I just realized like, I actually really enjoyed playing that way.
There was like a moon drop something.
They're called larval tears.
That's the one.
Little larvae.
And you take it to the lady in the tower.
Yes.
And she'll, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I should fucking play more of this game too. And it was really good.
Like by the time, that's the thing about doing multiple playthroughs, you build up like multiples of these unique items. So it's like, I've got like seven of those tiers so I can respec a bunch of times now.
Yeah.
It only gets, more accessible the more you play it, but.
That's a cool ass game.
I wonder where it's going to come on my game of the year list.
Do you ever think about that deleted save and what could have been?
Oh,
no!
The one that got away.
So you played this for like 280 hours.
No, I'm including that.
Oh, so okay, right.
First playthrough was on PC. Played for about 75 hours and then fucking corrupted save file. Bought it on PlayStation and have, I guess, just been playing... Yeah, this one save file, but now, yeah, it's a couple of journeys through, three journeys in now. So
they,
yeah.
They put out a trailer for that, a new trailer for Wolong Fallen Dynasty the other day, and I can't find it again to refresh my memory of it, but I think it looked fucking good.
Yes.
That's early 2023, the people who made Neo doing another Souls-like thing set in that, whatever that era is called in China, the something... I don't know if it's actually the like Three Kingdoms type of thing.
Oh, sure.
But sort of ancient China sometime. And then also with mythological stuff, I believe.
Yes.
Like a little puppet who, when he lies, a certain body part.
Well, there's a fucking another Pinocchio looking game.
No.
Two. Not Lies of P, but by Pinocchio, I mean Bloodborne. And then, but it's steampunk Bloodborne.
Oh.
The people who made that game, Greedfall, I can't remember the fucking name of it. It's not a good name, but it comes out fairly soon, so I'll probably play it and tell people the name in a couple of weeks I've played some of it.
Is it?
Steel something.
Oh, okay.
I think it's in early access now, and it's like coming out soon.
Okay.
Metal Pinocchio.
Metal Pinocchio. And his like nose creaking out as he tells a lie.
Yeah, nice.
Lies of P also could be Metal Pinocchio if you meant like heavy metal.
That would be a way better name. Metal Pinocchio?
Metal Pinocchio.
You kidding me that Lies of P wouldn't sell out 100 times the number of copies and it's called Metal Pinocchio?
Metal Pinocchio. Yeah, I'd play that.
Now, Adam, the people have to know, we need a follow-up from last week's episode.
Yes. What?
You sizzled. Speaking of...
we got a lot of messages about it too, by the way.
Oh,
Speaking of mythical quests in faraway lands.
Yeah. And men whose nose might have grown several inches based on what they declared.
Goblins and other grotesque creatures.
Yeah.
You were in the United Kingdom.
Yes.
And of course I didn't buy a steam. It would have been such a hassle.
Yeah. You didn't have a lot of time there left either.
I was thinking about it and mentioned it. But yeah, I did see people being like, did you do it? Like, no, of course not.
Yeah.
Really, really would have been hard to do. Also, thank you for people who messaged me like with, oh, here's one.
That's awesome.
The equivalent of cash converters over there. I can't remember what it's called. Fucking,
pound.
Something.
Yeah. Processors.
Something different. Whatever it is. Secondhand shop for people who also don't know what cash converters is because it's a stupid chain in Australia.
Yeah. It's a pawn shop, but it's a chain store.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The markup. So like the 512 gig one, which I was thinking, like, if you're gonna do it, go big, right? Or
go
home.
Absolutely.
And I literally went home instead.
Yep.
But £569 is the price if you buy it from Valve. £900 is what they're selling them for at the cash converters thing, which is
like
$2,000 nearly.
Yeah.
To justify that, are they like, if you wanted
They're not trying. Don't even worry about it. They're not even trying to justify it.
Oh, right.
They're simply putting it on there being like, what are you going to fucking do?
Yeah.
Well, but if you were in, if you lived in the UK and you just wanted to buy one direct from Valve, can you? Or is the reason for that the fact that there's like a backlog and it's hard to get them officially at this
there's
point?
There's still pre-order backlog, whatever.
Okay, sure.
But
sure.
Not to the tune of nearly double the price.
Yeah.
You can't blame that on Russia like everything else.
No. Well, at least there are other consoles you can buy for a reasonable price, like the PS5.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Easy to get.
Yep.
Good budget alternative.
100%. Actually, we've all invested in PS5, and we are up right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Honestly, doing better than the people who were booming in Bitcoin at like 2020.
Yes. Yep.
The PS5 was the best investment of all.
Down with Doge, up with PS5.
So what is it? It's like 50 Australian dollars that it's gone up by.
Yes.
I think 50 US dollars as well.
Right.
I think maybe £50. Like it's different prices
in
different
places. They just hooked on the number 50.
Yeah.
It is weirdly all over the place for different
places. PS5, 50.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Gotta be it. Well, they just add a zero to the PS5.
Well, so you can't really complain about it in this country because if they were doing it by conversion rate, we'd be getting a fucking way shit of deal.
Well, we're closer to the factories in Japan.
I think in Japan it's gone up by the equivalent of $100.
Whoa.
I think it's going up
50
a
yen.
Lot.
It's like 5 cents.
Is that 5? Yeah,
I think it might be less. It might be like a fifth of a cent.
It's either that or $5. I think it's 5 cents.
Okay,
I think it's 5 cents.
Yeah.
50 euros in Europe, 30 pounds in the UK, 5,000 yen in Japan.
Yep.
That's $50, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
400 yuan in China. Is it yuan?
Yep.
$50 AU, 1,000 pesos in Mexico, 20 Canadian dollars is the list of everything here. So not that bad in Canada, but...
But I think their base price is higher. I think I their games and their console was already higher.
It's been bizarre because so I tried to look this up because someone asked us this, and I think it is the only time ever that a console has gone up in price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
PC hardware has gone up, and recently too. Like, that stuff moves around all the time.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of a separate.
Yeah.
Because it's like, yeah, consoles, they'll be out for a couple of years, and yeah, they want that. They want to get that. That's when you see the slim kind of model or the thing that's missing a bit of a redesign.
So, the other way is you could think that those like revision models are technically a price increase in a way.
Yeah.
So, like the Mega Pro Drive 2 and whatever, even back in the day, and like even the Sega CD and those add ons. And like excluding short run consoles that don't sell well and then are very quickly marked up in like secondhand markets, like the Virtual Boy and whatever,
right?
That become like collector's things. I don't think it's ever like officially happened.
No.
Because consoles are always seen as the loss leader thing, where you're going out there and selling them without making much money or maybe losing money, and you are making your money back on the licensing deals with the games. That is the console business's model and has been for a long time. They've been making profit on PS5s since the beginning and are now making and doing this to continue doing that, seemingly.
Right.
Which is bizarre because Microsoft and Nintendo both came out and were like, we're not doing it.
Yeah.
Same factories, same places, same components. We're not doing it. So
Nintendo, I don't understand. Microsoft, I think the business is big enough that they can still compensate for it if inflation has impacted all of those costs.
Right.
Yeah. But Sony, and yeah, with Sony, it's like, well, their whole business is manufacturing consumer electronics. If everything involved in that supply chain has gotten more expensive, then, you know, what? Like, that's fucked. So they have to, they quote-unquote have to increase their prices.
Yeah.
I can see it with some stuff, but with the console, just because it's like the goal is to try and get it into people's houses so you can make money off of the games.
Yeah.
I mean, I completely buy Nintendo not doing it because their whole thing has for a long time been, let's keep the costs of these down because we just want as many people as possible. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, and because also, they sell so many first-party games on them.
Yeah, and that's why they make their consoles a bit more underpowered, so that they can be competitive on the price of it.
Yep.
And they're competitive on the price of it is to re-release it at full price after 4 or 5 years.
With
a slightly better screen, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're the fucking Malibu Stacy new hat version of consoles anyway, so they'd be fine with the OLED Switch. That's making margins, I'm willing to bet.
Yeah, I reckon. Yep.
But it's really surprising and weird. Because I assume they're, you know, their thinking is, like you say, stuff's going up. They've got to do it to keep the margin over this thing. And they're all selling, they're selling through them so quickly that surely this doesn't make a dent in that.
That's exactly right. Like, if this was not selling well, then this would be an insane move. The fact that you still can't get one, it's like, well, people still want them. They'll probably pay over this price again in the aftermarket to get them.
Right. The question is just, I think for me, because like, with stuff like the 3DS, and there's been other consoles as well where the price drops quite rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do a make good for the people who've already bought them sometimes and stuff like that. Mm. That thing seems to happen a lot where it goes the other way around. But for this, I wonder if the brand negativity that this brings in is worth the $50. Because
I mean, I haven't seen a lot of pushback on this. I don't know. Maybe I'm not reading the right comment sections. But right.
I mean, there's no right comment section to read anywhere.
Because it is a bit just like, you've got one already and it doesn't affect you. And you want one, but you fucking can't find one anywhere.
Right.
So again, it doesn't affect... You know what I mean? It's like, if you're someone that this actually would impact... The concept of getting a PS5 if you don't have one is such like a, you know...
Right, if you're the person who can choose whether or not to buy one, it's like, oh, so you run an EB Games.
Yeah, totally.
There's not a lot of people in that position, right?
I just realized as well, having said all that stuff about I don't know what console, it happened 2 months ago with the Oculus, 1 month ago. The Oculus Quest thing, or the Meta Quest, sorry.
I mean, that is very funny that happened and we were like, God, I hope hopefully this kind of bombs and people hate it and it doesn't become a precedent. Cut to... I think that was like 3 weeks. That was while you were in Edinburgh. That's been within the lifetime that you've been in Edinburgh. I think it was just before I left.
Right before I left. So
it's
like,
recent enough that it's like you have to wonder if Sony have gone,
maybe we can get away with it. And yeah, you're right. Maybe they have gotten away with it. It's the thing I would worry about if I was in Sony, because Microsoft thought the same thing clearly with the way they put the, like Nintendo just went like, nah, and also leave us alone all the time.
Yes.
But
we'll,
Microsoft,
we'll come to you if we want
like Nintendo rolled its eyes and went like, ugh. And just looked away and walked off. They were like, I don't know, but Nintendo's so cool. But Microsoft did a similar thing. It felt like what to like the when the Xbox One and the PS4 were both revealed and they did the disc sharing little sarcastic video.
Yep.
Microsoft were like, we intend to keep our prices exactly the same because people blah, blah, blah. And, you know, clearly being like, aren't we the good guys? But it also just makes brand sense to... fucking 2 years after this thing's been released, just under, to pump up the price. I know everything's going up, and
that's I think the other reason I'm not overly, you know, concerned, or you know, I'm not specifically concerned about this price rise because everything, like groceries, are getting doubling in price. You know, like it's not just luxury goods; it is. Staples to live on.
That is true, but the one market that isn't increasing is in fact decreasing is technology.
Right.
A lot of that sort of hardware is all coming down in price at the moment from where it's been during the pandemic.
Right, right.
So, you know, I've not had a look at their books. I've asked.
Well, so, you know, he was saying the consoles are the loss leader and they, you know, they're getting that into people's houses to get the software. To get them to buy the software. And it is, it is funny to go in the direction of like, we'll increase the price of the hardware where it's like, get some fucking exclusive games going. This is the thing I'm obsessed with at the moment. It's like, we're coming up on 2 years and how many games are there that you need a PS5 specifically for? Two? Three?
Exactly.
I think.
Increase the price there. Like, fuck people on that by like, put out The Last of Us 1 again for $100 or something crazy like that.
Don't be stupid, Adam. Do you want me to edit that out? Because that makes you sound like a fucking idiot. Yeah, it's that'll be one of the only quote-unquote new games in terms of AAA to come out within the next week, next 7 days.
Ratchet and Clank, Rift Apart, Returnal.
God of War's out soon, but that's PS4
that's
as well, actually.
Yeah, those two are you can only play on PS5, and then this Last of Us is only PS5.
Yeah.
Well, other than the PS3 and 4, where so I wouldn't count it in the same way that those PS4 games.
But that specific disc you can't put into. If you want to be generous to them.
True.
Keeping in mind that's still only bumping it up to 3 games.
Yeah.
Right.
I think we can give them that.
I'll give them 2.5.
Yeah.
It's funny, like, some people may have listened. If you haven't, here's a plug. We do our premium Bandcamp episodes, a little long form deep dives into a topic or a franchise. Mm. We did a history of console launches a little while ago, and I remember getting the price at launch and what that equates to with inflation in today's prices, or, you know, it was current at the time, 3 years ago or whenever we did it.
Yep.
And it's interesting because you get so used to like, oh, fuck, these consoles, when they launch now, they're so much more expensive. And then it's like, you look at with inflation, what was the Turbo Graphics when it came out? $1,500.
Right,
and
right.
It's like, oh, okay, yeah, this has always been an insanely expensive luxury item.
And you got shit like the Neo Geo and whatever that was like,
like a thousand
level of and I feel like that might be the one where I can kind of remember maybe that sort of got more expensive for some reason, because it was almost a different thing. But yeah, it's great. And I do feel bad, like, I get the thing you're saying of like, it doesn't really affect you'd have to be in a pretty specific position for this to have directly affected you as it's happening.
Right.
But then, like, you know, another Christmas is coming up, and if it's just more money than it would have cost a year ago, it fucking is annoying.
Yeah.
Like, and it just doesn't, stuff doesn't go in that direction.
If you're right, if you can wear the $900 for a PlayStation 5 or whatever it is, a 50 on top of that is kind of a drop in the ocean. But I will say, I love like a thing like this coming out, right? And the like the big company putting a blog post or whatever where they're like hat in hand where they're like, they're expensive to make.
There's been a flood that got the lettuce and it got the PlayStations.
It's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
You're a fucking big company.
Yeah.
You figure it out. Like, do you, what, you want sympathy from me for like this costing you a bit more?
Right.
I don't care.
Yeah.
You're all billionaires.
They just want you to not complain as much as you would have.
Yeah. But so, I'll tell you what, one thing you can play on the PS5.
What's that?
If you're lucky enough to have one. A game called Multiverses.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Competitive WB fighter.
Yes.
And there's been a rumor this week.
Oh, no.
About a new character who might be entering the fray. And they did announce the other week that one of the Gremlins is in the mix.
Really?
From the movie Gremlins?
Yeah. Huh.
What the fuck?
See, now that's cool.
Yeah,
this is, remember when this was announced and we were like getting excited? We were like, yeah, get Tony Soprano in there. Yeah. Get Larry David in there. And it's like, them putting a Gremlin in there, I'm like, someone in there gets it.
Yeah.
This is if they just go all in on like, just keep adding like every obscure property under the sun.
Yeah.
And there's been a trademark thing renewed.
Right.
Which people seem to think that the only reason to kind of bother with this trademark would be for including it in this game.
Okay.
And that trademark is the trademark of Big Chungus.
Who?
You know the meme of like fat big, Bugs Bunny?
Yeah, the big rabbit.
I didn't know that Big Chungus was a specific entity rather than just a general catch-all for like a large thing, but you've got to write an article about it and you've got a word count.
No.
So you write the word Chungus.
It's a reference to the meme of Big Chungus.
Yeah. Who's Big Chungus?
It's a frame of an old, like a very early on Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Yes.
Okay. And there's a bit where he's being hunted by Elmer Fudd. And he kind of puffs himself up to look all fat, like he does a lampooning of Elmer Fudd.
Yeah.
And someone's taken that screenshot.
I was going to say, because that would make him more huntable if he's fat. So that's a bad idea because there's more rabbit meat on him.
Yeah.
But if he's doing an impression of Elmer Fudd.
He's spoofing him. So that's it, like his defense. Right.
It's a lampoon.
One of his classic send-ups.
Yeah. That's the skunk spraying fluid on the predator.
I see. Yeah. An animal so offensive that you run away.
He's made fun of me. I better not kill him. But anyway, so yeah, that's an internet thing where people, even though it is obviously just fat Bugs Bunny, people named it Big Chungus.
Okay.
And so I've WB like renewed the trail, like, you know, filed a thing that people found and people got very excited and thought, well, what do they have cooking at the moment?
Yeah.
The only possible thing that you could bother wanting the trademark for Big Chungus for. So, and the answer to that is Multiverses.
Okay.
If you Google Big Chungus, because maybe you missed out on the and any meme explained to you sounds absurd.
Sure.
Because if you say, it's like a woman looking at the camera, but she's like smiling a bit and her eyes are pretty wide. So people assume that she was a girlfriend who was too attached to you. And they'd write little things that maybe a woman might do who was too an overly attached girlfriend, you see.
Well, there's a Big Chungus song.
That's what I was going to say. If you just Google it, you get the Big Chungus song. And the lyrics to it are this. Big, big Chungus, big Chungus, big Chungus. Big, big Chungus, big Chungus, big Chungus. Big, big Chungus, big Chungus, big Chungus. And it continues.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to sing. People are going to be hearing this on Multiverses on the Big Chungus level.
People also ask, what does it mean to be called Big Chungus? One.
I've got bad news for
Posted
you.
By E. Fudd.
A very large or overweight person or thing. Adjective. Two, very large or overweight. The two different meanings.
That's subtle.
What is the origin of Big Chungus? How old is the Big Chungus meme? Who first said Big Chungus? Is Chungus an insult? Does Chungus mean fat?
Beautiful.
I think it comes from Wabbit Twobble, 1941 film, it seems.
It's only from 2016, the meme itself.
Right.
That doesn't feel right, but apparently it's true.
I think a lot of the one, like, they sort of stopped happening after that and it became like TikToks instead of memes.
True.
Harambe was the final meme.
Yeah.
I'll Trump, take that to my grave.
Trump getting elected was the end of memes.
Yeah. Kind of.
And that's why I voted for him. That was part of his platform.
Thank God. Yeah. Some respite.
All that shit they found in Mar-a-Lago was him just trying to track down the origins of Big Chungus. It was all things relating to that.
But
who
called
me Big Chungus? What, did you write a song about it? Why'd you do that? Terrible song. Repetitive lyrics.
I've never seen a bigger Chungus.
They're calling the me Chungus Big Chungus. They're the very world. Wrong.
He made American fun made. Of Elmer Fudd and Elmer didn't like it.
One of them tells me it's duck season. The other one tells me it's rabbit season. One of them's got to be fake news.
Yeah, that is the good stuff.
Okay.
But what do you guys think about the potential of a Bugs Bunny meme? But, you know, I in a weird way, I kind of am into it.
It's
like them taking it kind of back from the internet kind of repurposing it and having their way, and then being like, don't you forget, we still own this fucking character.
To be fair, I'd say put in the Animaniacs and shit before you're making your way down to Big Chungus. But
what I don't like about it, I will say, is that they've trademarked Big Chungus.
Right.
This is something that was created by the internet. This is a meme. Mm. This is not their intellectual property.
Right.
The frame of Fat Bugs Bunny is theirs. But they've trademarked the words Big Chungus as an entity.
And if anyone should own it, it should have like, I will accept them trademarking it. Mm-hmm. If at all times Big Chungus is on screen, he's got a little watermark from imageflip.com down the bottom of wherever he is on screen. That's fuck, that'd be all right. And if all those attacks are like impact font text getting thrown at people.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
Well, I did
this
see...
is the solution to this cost of living crisis we were talking about in the recession that we're going into. All free games becoming annoying but good.
The article that I read about this was like, you know, they go into the history of the Big Chungus meme and then this finding, and then they're like, now it's unclear at this time whether Big Chungus would be his own character or just a skin for the existing Bugs Bunny character. And I was like, now that is good journalism.
Yeah.
That's the question that needs to be asked.
Yeah.
That's the, also kind of the thought. But
or is this at all related to multiverses?
Is it its own game?
Is
I could
open
imagine
world Big Chungus?
it just WB being like, "Oh, this is a thing that relates to like one of our characters. We better trademark this in case anyone tries to make money off."
We have to protect our intellectual property before the Big Chungus the movie comes out. Or are they Big Chungus the movie? Or is he in Space Jam 3? Or like,
I would assume it's the first one. It's just protecting anyone else from being able to monetize it.
I believe he appeared in Space Jam 2.
Oh, well, there you go.
Oh, okay.
So it was like I think it was like they had, and it, to be fair, I could be getting the details wrong. They may not have trademarked like the Big Chungus title. It was just the image or it was something along those lines.
Have people just jumped to the idea that it's specifically for the game, or is there some reason that...
No, they've jumped to it.
Why
pure conjecture.
There's no way that Big Chungus has come into multiverses. Sorry.
I don't know, man. They got a lot of stupid skins for like all the other, you know, Shaggy you can dress up as like Lord Shagsworth or whatever his fucking weird uncle is or something
like
that. I know,
but if they leap to Big Chungus at this point, I mean, but also why not? I suppose.
Oh, from Polygon it says Warner Brothers have filed a trademark with the European Union Intellectual Property Office for using Big Chungus in all manner of goods and services from multimedia to merch.
Right.
Just so we have the legalese out there.
Okay.
We all know what we're discussing here.
What if they went for the what if they just really went for it and they're like, now we're putting Dat Boy in the game, we're getting a trademark of him because he's a little frog like the Hello My Honey, the little dancing frog.
Yes.
They go, you don't see it in the cartoons, but when he's doing those little performances, he's ridden there on the little unicycle.
Yes.
It's just out of frame.
Yeah.
We can get you the original watercolor backgrounds if you want. You can verify this for yourself. Oh. But now he's it. I mean, even just that dancing frog being in multiverses would be fucking sick. That's a hell of a special.
He's
just like shuffling across the screen, kicking people as he's going. Yeah.
At some point, there'll be a meme too far, though. And like, as happened with real memes, they'll have to, the game will slowly get further and further to the right. Like, we kind of, and you know. But yeah, I'm up for them putting blurry laptop Google searching kid in there.
You know, look, I'm all for this podcast just morphing into every episode is just us riffing for an hour of things that could and should be in multiverses.
Okay.
If they're going to keep tempting us with news stories like this, then what are we to do?
I mean, we should probably create our own platform fighter game with royalty-free, copyright-free entities.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Dracula.
Yep.
Is in there.
Well, you know what we'd be able to do? Pinocchio.
Pinocchio.
Old-fashioned Winnie the Pooh.
Yes.
Not the Disney one.
Not the Disney one.
Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, this is a really good idea.
This is a good game.
Yeah. If anyone is listening who works for a dev or has venture capital money, you know our email.
Royalty-free fighter. Are the three of us in it? I mean, we're royalty-free.
That's true. Well, I'm English, but other than that.
Exactly. We don't, I think, have blue blood, but
the way
we'll
make it free to play, but there will be ads.
Yes.
And the ads are a playable character.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. We try to make them a bit fun, like we do with the ads on this podcast.
Yep. Who are you fighting as in this game? I'm playing as the try not to come challenge.
Try not to come challenge versus No Nut November. They're just all internet jack-off characters.
Yeah.
Well, if you want your downstairs area to be clean of pubes so you can jack off with no restrictions and no, what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
Friction whatsoever.
Yeah, no friction, no restrictions. That's the way I like my orgasm October.
Yeah, that's the way I like my Manscaped.
This is their copy, by the
way. This is 100% their copy. Manscaped, longtime sponsor of this show, back again. We're in September now, boys.
That's crazy.
Spring has sprung.
Spring has sprung. Fall has fallen. Right? They're the two.
I've never heard fall has fallen, weirdly. But no, I've heard spring has sprung.
But it's autumn now in the northern hemisphere,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Sucked in. It's getting colder.
Yeah. You do remember that we just had winter.
Yeah, and
ourselves.
I hated it. And I'm glad to see the back of it.
And it'll never come back again. Yeah. God, you're like a fucking goldfish. I will read some of the copy because this is new copy. We'll see how it goes. Cue dramatic music.
Big chungus.
Gentlemen,
big chungus.
All men strive for gold in their life, right? Gold medals, gold watches, gold everything. However, there is a certain type of man...
Personally, don't really like gold, but please continue.
No, I prefer silver or platinum myself. Who goes the extra mile. He walks with the confidence of an eagle.
They're one of the most awkward animals on the ground.
I know, I know.
Hopping around...
And he giggles in the face of danger. Once again, nervous laughter.
I suppose they're actually going for something here. I assumed that they'd gotten it wrong with the eagle, but I think...
No, they've just got it wrong.
But
entirely.
Why giggle?
Don't know.
That's got to be a deliberate choice.
He's a big, hairless, winning machine. And when he unzips his pants, he sees... Platinum? That's right. Manscaped would like to announce that their best and biggest ultimate hygiene bundle... is called the Platinum Package.
Right.
Okay.
4.0. And it's now available in Australia and overseas.
Nice.
Yeah. Australia, where we live, and overseas, where most of our listeners live.
Yeah.
And most everyone.
Yeah,
Pretty much everyone.
And where we've visited.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. Very, very true. But you're right. Australia's pretty small.
What the fucking shit is the Platinum Package?
Well... It's got a whole bunch of stuff in it. It's got the Lawnmower 4.0.
That thing's good.
Top of the line trimmer.
Yep.
You got your weed whacker for your ear and your nose.
Yep. Ear, nose, and throat.
Yeah. You've got
hairy
your...
throat.
Yeah.
Really hairy.
Nothing worse.
A little dangly bit.
Oh, man, he needs to shave.
Well, if he's been eating hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Oh.
You get some ultra premium body wash. You get some 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner. You get some deodorant, some anti-chafing ball preserver deodorant, some spray toner, some boxes that are specially made for anti-chafing, and a travel bag to hold your goods while traveling.
The travel bag is great.
Yes.
I've just traveled with the travel bag, and I will tell you, good bag for traveling.
Says here, do not read. Hosts provide an example of when you've used the travel bag.
Bad news, Ben.
God, if only one of us had recently traveled and hadn't already told their story about...
I traveled here, I guess, but I didn't use the bag.
Yeah, the bag's at home now.
All of their products are sick. We've used them a whole bunch of times. Can only, once again, recommend... especially... Their trimmer, the lawnmower, and the weed whacker are like literally the best versions of those products that exist.
And these sort of packages and gift sets they do are pretty good as well. Like we've gotten...
Yes.
I think they're sending us this platinum one because it's new and we haven't seen it so that we can be across it. But I can say the previous ones, that they're really well put together. They got a bunch of stuff in them. It's a great gift.
Very
good.
Like classily packaged and presented as well.
You open it and the theme from Frasier starts playing.
That's right.
A little fake newspaper in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
right.
It's
all about
the age. No, it's like, about the origins of hair or something.
Right.
I've got some stuff on there.
But cut eye holes in it to do some detective work.
And
mine.
There's a lot of
I cut a dick hole in it so I could use it to, like, you know.
It's meant to, if you put it down for when you're shaving and it gathers the hair and stuff.
It's perfect. But, very smart. Like a barbershop for your balls.
It's only the one page repeating. So Up your game, Manscaped. Yeah. I don't know if that's the true about the Platinum package. Father's Day's next week.
Yeah, exactly. It's great for a gift. Like, you can essentially just order this knowing that it's packaged in a way that you would be very happy to receive it, you know.
Mm. As will be your balls after using Manscaped.
That's right. It's not just in, like, some shitty cardboard box. It really does look and feel like a gift package.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, manscaped.com. That's where you go to buy them. And you use the code FILTHY for 20% off and free shipping.
Yes, sir.
It's a great time. Hey, you can fucking get your Christmas presents sorted early if you want.
They might all go up in price before then if they're anything to like the PlayStation.
Well, you can make it go down in price no matter when you order by using the code FILTHY.
Yep. I wish that there was a code to use on video games when I were to buy them.
Yes.
Is that what we want to talk about now, the games that you guys have been playing? I haven't had the opportunity to play these couple of games.
I feel like there was something...
There's a little bit more news. There's a new Rocksmith coming out.
Oh, that's sick. I was going to say with regards to copyright stuff is like... what that was an issue with Rocksmith. The licensing for the songs was very expensive.
Project Cars 1 and 2, I think, both are getting delisted very soon because of car licensing stuff.
Right, right.
All the rock stars and guitar heroes and stuff have had their own back and forth issues with, of course, music. And that will be the same for Rocksmith Plus, you would assume.
Yeah.
But they're switching. I apologize. They are switching. I get choked up thinking about Rocksmith's demise. they're switching to a subscription thing. So
right.
It's $15 a month and there's more than 5,000 songs coming. It comes out on the 6th of September.
That's right. Cool.
And it has, I think I never played or used the original, but the whole point was that it was teaching you how to play with your actual instrument, right? Yeah. You jack in. This is on PC, obviously. It's through Ubisoft Connect, which is not a fun piece of launcher software to use.
Right.
But it's better than nothing, I guess, to be able to play, a game that sounds really cool and fun and practical.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a try.
It's someone, I talked about this a while ago, someone gave me this as a gift after a show recently. It's awesome, but it is one of those things where you start playing it, you're like, God, you know what would be even better than this? If it had literally every song that's ever been made.
Right.
Good news for you, Tommy. Big Chungus in Rocksmith Plus.
Okay.
I assume.
Big Chungus. Right. Big Chungus.
What about the Corn Kid? Is he coming in?
Yeah. Fucking make fun of millennials all your fucking life and then, corn, from the people who did auto-tune the news, the most millennial shit in the world, corn.
Yes.
You fuckheads, you fucking hypocrite fuckheads. But... yes.
Yeah, this is cool.
Yeah, okay, great.
And it's acoustic guitar, electric guitar, and bass.
And bass.
You can plug all of them in.
Yes, which is the one I want to learn.
It'd be nice if they chucked some drums in there one day as well.
Yeah.
It'd be cool to learn the...
plug in your electric drum kit?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like the one that you've got would have a USB plug, surely?
Oh, brother, does it ever.
Hell yeah.
Oh,
that's the sort of shit I love to hear.
Fuck yeah. If we were sitting closer together, I'll be high-fiving you right now.
Fuck yeah, brother. That's the kind of riffs I love. Someone asks me a question and I say yes.
Oh, yes.
That would be great. So the app that they've got, Rocksmith Plus Connect, can be a microphone that works as a tuner.
Yeah, I saw that. And I assume that also works as input for an acoustic guitar. Probably.
So you can get those Rocksmith plugs on eBay, which I know because I bought a guitar a few months ago. And I was like, I'm going to fucking play the goddamn guitar again.
Hell yeah.
Barely touched it. But... this will be the thing.
You didn't take it to Edinburgh with you?
No.
You could have made a little bit of extra scratch playing some songs.
Get out
on
the
street.
Be like, everyone has to come close because it's electric guitar and I didn't bring an amp. So come up close and you can hear it.
Yeah. But here's my parody song about the bins.
Yeah. Clean up the rubbish. I don't like this. Clean up the rubbish.
Yep, that's pretty good.
Edinburgh.
Yep.
Fucking hypocrite, fucking fuckheads. But the cable that you can get, I assume they're making a new cable as well that you'll be able to buy.
If the game's back, surely they're going to chuck that
still
back
works for
you,
but I can't find any information about that cable myself.
Okay.
You would assume, though, that it will be available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That maybe they're planning to use this microphone instead. And the other thing is there'll probably be a Switch Direct soon.
Yeah.
They're due. They usually have one in September, I believe.
Guess what month it is right now.
Remember. The 1st of September.
You're close with that rhyme, yeah.
And then
Wind
I saw...
Waker re-release, Twilight Princess re-release,
yep.
Metroid Prime 4 coming out next week,
yeah.
Metroid
yep.
Prime 1, 2 and 3 on the one disc and they pay yes. you to own it.
F-Zero's back.
F-Zero's back.
Switch
F-Zero,
Pro.
S-E-X.
Mario
That's
Galaxy 2, 3 and 4 coming out in all yep. at the same time.
Yep.
Yoshi's Island deleted. It's gonna be one piece of bad news. They're deleting every copy of Yoshi's Island.
Kirby suck big penis.
Yep.
Kirby suck big penis right at start. Everyone go what? Then they go, okay. That's Kirby now.
Yep. Yeah. Wario, that's saying the N word.
Yeah.
Finally.
Nintendo's going crazy.
Shigeru's gone mad. Shigeru Miyamoto has gone completely mad.
So that'll be good. Also, yeah, new Assassin's Creed apparently been leaked by big Jason Schreck.
Yep.
Confirming some details set in Baghdad, 9th century, featuring a character from Valhalla, which I didn't play enough to know how that could possibly connect.
Right.
I'm
not sure how any of it, because the thing they've been saying for a while with Assassin's Creed is that the next one will be like an ongoing service one.
Right.
I remember them saying for a bit here. And this doesn't sound like that.
No, not really. Yeah. And then there was also speculation that they are remaking Assassin's Creed 1 as a less open world, more stealth focused assassination game, which is what the first one was like. So I would like that because I never really played much of it. I really got into the second one, which I think was the more popular one generally. But I'm always curious about this franchise because I did used to like it a lot and it's gotten a bit messy.
Yeah.
Valhalla is just not an Assassin's Creed game, you know. You're running around as a Viking just getting into fights and shit. So.
And there's so much DLC put in there now and it was so massive, even the base thing, that it like to the point of it being a little intimidating to even play. Same kind of as Origins and Odyssey.
Well. And knowing the Ubisoft model of fluff and filler, you know, just to I never really got that into it, but hey, it's one of the big franchises and I'd love it to be good again.
Well, hey, these big franchises might end up being a waste of your time. We saw it last week with Saints Row, you know, people kind of off it. None of us have gone in, dare I say, we shan't be going in. But why would you need to when the state of indie games is as good fuck? I'll take that again.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Quiet in the room.
That's where David Letterman's from, the state of indie games. Is that how you pronounce it?
I think it's pronounced India.
Oh, he's from the state of
India. He's from India.
Yeah, he's from India.
Indiana Jones was from the state of indie games as well.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, spot. Now I'm...
okay, right. Quiet on set.
Been playing Rollerdrome. It's really good.
Okay, cut! Tommy from this, because he's not doing well enough.
Rollerdrome from Roll 7, the company that also developed and released Olly Olly World earlier this year. I cannot believe that this company, I assume, small indie company, have managed to release two of the best games of this year.
Yes.
Two of the best sports / I guess, you know, arcade sport.
Yep.
Action-y kind
action
of...
action games that I reckon I've ever played.
But they're so different from each other. Tonally, I mean, the mechanics in them, super tight. They're both sports in some way or another.
Yep.
Both kind of cel-shaded looking, similar palettes. But apart from that, I keep forgetting that it's the same people.
Yeah.
Even though you and I have talked about it several times.
Yeah.
I still just, it's not front of mind when I'm... And also because, I mean, Olly Olly World was so recently that, then you know, it's not like a thing where you're thinking like, oh, these guys are due to put out another thing now, a mere 8 months on.
Yeah,
but
that's crazy.
Here they are, the absolute mad British lads. They're back at it.
It's some real, like, early 90s shareware DOS-style, like, turnaround time.
Yeah.
Rollerdrome looks... I still haven't had a chance to play it yet because I've been fucking flying around being like, why can't I bring my guitar on with me?
Yes.
I'll put it on my lap. It's no bigger than that baby. That baby looks like Big Chungus. What do you mean you don't know who Big Chungus is? It's a meme originating from 2016.
Who's this being yelled at, by the way? Is
the
this
mother?
Like the
I'm practicing
flight attendant?
In the bathroom before going up to the desk.
Before meekly going and sitting down and not saying anything.
Yeah, throwing my guitar in the bin as I walk past.
Sorry, everyone. Sorry.
Rollerdrome looks fucking great.
Yeah,
it looks. The visual style is really cool, and I'm very jealous of you having played this.
I think
already.
It's quite distinct visually from Olly Olly World as well. It's it's similar in that it's not a full 3D, fully textured game, but Olly Olly World. Cartoony.
It's more, it's going for a more realistic style. It's set in the future. Yeah, and I think when we saw this announced, I thought it looked cool visually. I think we all initially thought it kind of looks like it was going to be an online competitive multiplayer thing, and then found out, oh no, it's like just single player. I thought it looked awesome, was very excited for it, but I did also think, it's probably too good to be true. Mm. It's kind of doing a lot of different things, and it looked to me like a thing that could very easily be a complete mess. And I think it should be, but they have done such a good job at making all of these elements work in harmony together.
Yes.
So it's you're in an arena, you're roller skating around in a way that controls very similarly to a Tony Hawk. Mm-hmm. You're doing, there are also dotted around the arena, there are, enemies that you are having to shoot. You get ammo by doing tricks. You restore enemies drop health when you take them out. When you're up in the air, you can hold the L trigger to do like a kind of slow motion bullet time thing to help yourself aim the shots and kind of like whip around and see where people are. And you basically have to take out all the enemies in the arena to win and progress. And the enemies kind of all spawn in set spots throughout the
right.
It's not like randomized where it's just like there's 20 and they might be wherever. So it does get to a point where if you've played, it's one of those games that is encouraging you to play the level many, many times over. There's also a lot of challenges that you have to clear in order to you kind of hit a gate where it's like to unlock the next level now you have to have cleared, you know, 7 more of the challenges or whatever.
It literally is if Tony Hawk had bullet time and guns.
Yeah. Right.
That and is like you roll into the, you know, stage just like you roll into a Tony Hawk. Like just picture that. That's what the game is.
Right.
And the challenges are along similar lines, a little less creative maybe than Tony Hawk because there's not, you know, it's not like a shopping center or, you know, like they use the environment so well in those levels. Yep. But this is like you're in an arena, so it's more about kill 5 guys with this gun. Kill someone while you're wall riding. Dodge perfectly 4 times.
Yeah, yeah. And there's some pretty creative ones. Like kill 2 people with the same grenade.
Yep, yeah.
Kind of things like that, yeah.
And so you're going through this sequence of however many people there are to kill. Mm-hmm. Do you have a time limit as well and you're trying to kill them in as quick of a time?
You are trying to kill them in as quick of a time, but it's not a limit. It counts up. You get more points for doing it more quickly. Right. Yep. Stuff like that.
But so it's just X amount of people and they come through in a predetermined sequence. So yeah. There is hypothetically a path that you're looking for.
So they'll spawn in kind of spots sort of around the
little holographic spawn in kind of animations. Yeah.
And that makes it sound a bit more like, oh, I can see the connection between this and Olly Olly World now.
Yeah.
Where there's like kind of an ideal path
that
you're looking for, or like a path that is most ideal for the challenge that you are being presented with.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
But there's just a lot of very, I think, smart design choices in things that it isn't doing. So, and again, on paper, it's very easy to imagine this game being a mess if they were trying to go for a very like realistic feel to it. So aiming is pretty much automatic. Like when you go into your bullet time, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to line the shot up exactly.
And are you going into the bullet time every time you're shooting, or is this like...
No, it's a separate control. You can just shoot in real time.
Right.
But you basically get like about 5 seconds bullet time, and then it just like you run out of bullet time, you land, and then it just very rapidly...
It quickly resets.
Right,
you can do it really frequently.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So every time you basically get air, you...
So it's sounding like a little bit, again, just trying to compare this to things to get a frame of reference, like Super Hot or something, where you've got this level of people you need to kill, and there is probably a way to do it that is going to be...
I think it's a lot more freeform than that.
Cool.
You're not literally doing the same thing, you know, unless you are going for the best possible time...
You wouldn't pick up on the pattern of the spawning until you've done the level many, many, many times.
Right. And again,
if you were looking for it, it doesn't feel like, oh, this is very regulated, because they are still big.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of open areas that are...
So then again, yeah, not like Neon White or whatever, where it's like...
No.
Yeah,
no,
not to that extent.
A bit more floppy right.
But the other smart thing about the design is that you can't wipe out when you're... You know, in Tony Hawk, you have to like you have to land the jump kind of perfectly.
Right.
In this, like, you can't fall over, you can't stack. And it's easy to imagine a version of this game where they would have felt like, oh, that's part of the challenge. But that's what I mean about, like, they really have made some very smart decisions in how they streamline how it feels that just makes it... Because, yeah, like, you don't... There's so much going on already.
Yes.
You don't need the added challenge of having to... You're doing tricks to refill your ammo. So you're going up the ramp. You're doing as many spins as you can. Getting your... It's got this cool sound effect of a gun reloading and just watching your ammo rack up. And you're like, great, I'm done. You don't also need to have to worry about, like, oh, I better make sure I'm on the exact right angle. Otherwise, I'm going to wipe out and lose a life point or whatever.
Yeah. And, yeah, the complexity comes in... The kinds of enemies, initially it's just guys with bats and you can dodge them, but they're not shooting at you. Then there is snipers, and so you will see as you're skating around a sort of gray, you know, line come onto you. It'll turn red. You got to dodge then, and then they'll miss. But if you wait till it turns white and you dodge, you get like a perfect dodge and you get some ammo back.
Right.
So they will start spawning. There will be big guys with rocket launchers who are like have more health. You know, so that's another added complexity to
that
run.
They also have a shield. So, like, you hit them once and then their shield goes up.
Right.
So you're then going to have to, like, go, like, you know...
Come back to them
later. Go back around and...
But if you've managed to get near them with full ammo, you go into slow-mo and you unload a full clip, then they will die because they haven't had time to put the shield up.
Do you have multiple weapons or is this...
Yep.
Okay, cool.
As you progress, you unlock a shotgun... Which is just two shots and a reload, but it's much stronger, obviously.
Yeah.
You start with double pistols that has about 12 shots in the clip.
Right.
You also get a phaser gun that sort of has a bit of an arc to it, but is quite long ranged and is very powerful.
Right.
And then what's the other gun? Oh, a grenade launcher.
Yeah. Cool.
Which is also extremely powerful.
And yeah, it is. Flipping around between them, because yeah, there's one type of enemy that will, once they've been hit, they'll transport.
Yes.
They'll like teleport to another part of the level.
Right.
And so with them, if you hit them with the shotgun, in the time it's taking to reload, they're out and they're gone.
Yeah.
And they're really powerful too. They've got like a kind of a laser beam thing that they shoot at you. So you really want to get rid of them as quickly as possible. But if you switch to the, like Ben was saying, if you switch to the dual pistols with them, you just empty the entire clip into them and you'll take them out before they have the chance to teleport. So just kind of thinking like, all right, if I'm going to take this guy out, I've got to make sure I've got full ammo. And the ammo is shared across all the weapons. So
exactly, right.
When you're doing
a
trick and it's... And again, another great simplistic design choice where they've just gone, let's not fucking worry about having different ammo for the different guns. Let's just streamline it.
And so one of the challenges, for example, is hit one of those enemies with two different kinds of weapons before they teleport.
Right.
And so, similar to Tony Hawk, you unlock future rounds or like each bracket of the finals, I guess, by doing a certain amount of challenges. Right. So, and you do find you have to stop and go back. Like I didn't find I was naturally just doing all of the challenges and going straight through to the quarterfinals and so on.
A lot of them you do have to, the ones where it's like, use this type of gun.
Yeah,
and it's the same as Tony Hawk, it sounds like, where you can go in and just do one challenge and then just repeat the level as many times as it takes to do.
And once you've done it, if you die, it still counts that challenge as being
cool.
Done.
Yeah.
So you don't have to,
This sounds like a very fun game.
Yeah, got not heaps of user reviews from the patrons on this one. It is, a much smaller game than a lot of other games we've talked about.
Yeah, it hasn't made as much of an impact as I thought it would have. I mean, when it was in whatever presentation it was, it really stuck out to me. And even at the time, I remember not many people really talking about it. And then I don't really know what it is. Like, it's come out and it's so fun. It's got such a unique style. Maybe it is just the Sable thing kind of took away from people.
The way that its first impression was for I think all of us to think that it was a multiplayer combat arena thing.
Right.
Probably means that it hasn't gone into the right people's parts of their brain, the right parts yeah. of people's brains.
If there were Kotaku headlines being like, this Tony Hawk-inspired, you know, action shooter, it, yeah. I think there'd be more people giving it a crack.
Big
but
Chungus is playing this week.
Some people have given it a crack. Tolkien Taters, one of our mm-hmm. great patrons, said, loving Rollerdrome, really enjoying the cycle of getting to a new level, just trying to survive, then mastering it enough to just focus on high score. Everything about the presentation and aesthetic is just working for me, exceeding my expectations.
We should just, yeah, there's a, in between the, a lot of the levels, there's like a first person kind of mode that you go into where you're like in a locker room walking around and sort of looking at newspaper headlines that are giving a bit of backstory about this, you know, dystopian future that you're in and this league that you've been.
It's so very kind of Rollerball, The Running Man, you know, 80s dystopia,
death sport.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
feeding that stuff in an optional but kind of cool way. Where, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah good. I forgot about that. Good point. We also got one from Timmy on Discord. Rollerdrome is a masterclass in design. Not having to worry about landing jumps or aiming perfectly really allows you to get absorbed in the nonstop action. Rollerdrome, more like Bonadrome, because that's what I had while playing it.
That's awesome, dude.
That's so good.
That's a hell of a game.
Also, according to Tolkien Taters, it runs at a solid 1080p, 60 FPS on PS4. And on PS5, it can run at 4K, 120 frames per second.
Damn.
Which I guess makes sense because it's not, you know, it is cel-shaded and it is simplistic visually.
There is kind of often a lot going on the screen.
That's
all
it.
At once.
It's like almost like a bullet hell Tony Hawk.
It is,
that sounds and fucking good. Yeah. I'm surprised. I guess I'm not surprised, but like
There's no buzz.
There's no buzz and this hasn't been done.
Yes.
The fact that bullet hell Tony Hawk isn't a sentence I've heard before.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what it reminds me of a lot in terms of it's just this kind of like weird idea. It feels very much like a game of a different era. Specifically, I keep thinking about the game Forsaken. Did you ever play that, Adam?
Forsaken, I remember. I don't know if I ever played it, but that was the one that like it was like fucking Descent, like a first-person spaceship
flying motorbikes shooter.
Yeah, and it had different versions on like the 64 and the PC or something. Like it was a different game and different consoles.
I had the 64 one, and it came out. You know, it's obviously GoldenEye was massive at the time,
right?
And it's post that. It's like this is shooting, but you're in, flying around on motorbikes.
Three dimensions.
I can't imagine this. Like I gotta look it up.
It was cool, but it sort of reminds me of that style of like weird, futuristic, taking a thing that you know and then adding this kind of extra thing to it where you're like, why doesn't this exist? This is fucking awesome.
Well, man, a successful sounding, fun, successful creatively.
Yes.
Yep.
Fun indie game with a kind of a twisted take on a sport.
Uh-huh.
I must be the only one this week to have an idea that unique.
No, you're going to feel like a right dolt, Adam.
I doubt it. There's no way that I can be wrong about the statement I've just made.
You've got mustard on your shirt.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, and also, you don't. Cursed to Golf also came out in the past couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Another indie, interesting twist on a sport game. The twist in this being it's a roguelike.
Mm.
Right.
Two-dimensional.
Yep.
You're a golfer. You're a dead golfer. You get struck by lightning and you...
On the golf course?
On the golf course.
Right. Damn, that's unlucky.
Yeah.
Although I guess that could happen.
Yeah.
You're in a pretty open space. There's
I think
lots
usually
of trees.
They like cancel the, you know, cancel the game if there's lightning about.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, it starts, you're like the best in the world. You're about to win the world championship and on the last stroke of the last hole.
Fuck.
Danger strikes.
Yep.
In the form of lightning.
You'd be pretty fucking excited if you were in second though.
Oh yeah.
Thank you, big man upstairs.
I'd be excited for like a millisecond if I was in first. You're like, oh fucking hell, this
what?
is.
And
weird.
Then, you wake up in purgatory
and
you have to get through 18 holes to get yourself out. And it's
right.
two-dimensional.
Yep.
Kind of, looks like a platformer, but it's the...
So
the
side scroll.
Side scroll, yeah.
Right. Not like isometric or anything. Right, side scrolling.
Like desert golf. There's been a few golf games about that sort of thing. Yeah.
The classic golf mechanics that we all remember famously not being in games like Mario Golf on the Nintendo Switch.
Yes.
Right.
You get your little meter for your power.
And there's a triangle moving back and forth. Is that right?
Sure is.
You get your arc.
Yep.
And
it's going back and forth, and you press A when you think you're ready to go.
Yeah.
Yep.
Perfect. That's just what golf is like.
Only three types of clubs.
Yep.
Arc. You got your
driver, iron, wedge. Power.
Yep. Great.
You got your little sand traps and stuff, and your little bunkers and whatnot around the levels. And you also, dotted around the levels, you have these little statues, which if you hit them, you've got a par that you've got to make it to the hole.
That's what I was going to say. Like, to get through these 18, I'm assuming there's some par that I need to do the whole course in one run under par so that I can get out of purgatory.
It's
is that
more
the idea?
Level to level. So it's 18 levels, and each level is its own hole. And so you have a limit of 5 shots to get to the hole. You're counting them down, but there's these statues around each hole that if you smash through them, they'll add a few more strokes to your limit.
Right.
They'll give you a couple more, essentially lives, I guess, with
the
shot you're taking.
You also have these bloody cards, little pack of bonus cards.
Right.
That you just, you bring up with R trigger.
Yep.
And they'll kind of pop up and you can cycle through them and it's like, add 2 shots to your game. Time stop, where if you activate this card, then during your next stroke, you press B and the ball will stop and drop exactly where it is in the air.
You can change the ball in midair.
Yep.
There's one where you can split the ball off into 3.
Yeah.
And then you just pick one of them.
And so these are single-use cards?
They are.
How
am I getting them?
You are given a bunch at the start. You can buy them from a shop.
Right.
And you can also unlock them as you progress through your roguelike... inscription? Slay the Spire style top-down map.
I see.
Right, yeah, you come across them in different ways on your little run through to do your 18.
Okay.
Yeah, and the first 6 take place in the Scotsman's land.
Yep.
So it's very classic, just, you know.
Last month of your life, Adam.
Green hills, rubbish everywhere. You would have... I get it. Rats fucking in the piles of rubbish.
Yeah, comedians fucking in the piles of rats.
A rat thinks he's the king. That's what they call that.
normal, green fairways, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Second biome, I think it's 3. I think it's 3 of 6. The second one is desert land. So there's a few more bunkers around and a different sort of character who I assume, is going to be the boss at the end of those 6 holes. But it's tough. It's very, very hard. Tommy and I were talking about it the other day, like struggling to get 1 or 2, 3 holes done before we die.
And so how is this? I'm still a little unclear of how it's broken up. So each hole is broken up into individual levels.
No, no. Did you say? So each level is a hole. So you're on the course, you got the flag that you got to get to. You get through that, that's the level done. Then you go in through your little roguelike thing.
So there's 18 levels.
Yeah.
There's 18 levels, yeah. Okay. So you have to do all 18 in one run. And I think after 6, then there's a boss. And the boss is just basically you have to beat them to the hole.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But are these randomly generated courses each time you're going through?
Yes, they are.
Right.
The greenskeeper is the spirit who is in charge of that. And each hole/level, it's basically a vertical platformer level.
Right.
So you start up here, you start at the top, you drive it all the way to the right-hand barrier of that level. It'll drop down, you'll go through the a little gap, you'll bounce it and then you go, okay, I've got to make it back to the left hand side of the you're trying to essentially platform down to the flag and the T and the hole.
But there's also multiple pathways through.
Yes.
You've got a little button you can push.
Like a sort of pachinko machine.
Yeah.
And there are bits where there's little fans and stuff. If you hit a thing at the right point, it'll trigger a series of sort of things that'll leapfrog you across the level.
Yes.
And you'll come to a point where it's like, because you can push a button to just kind of like scroll around the course with a camera at any point to sort of see what's coming up.
Mm.
So there'll be a bit where it's like, if you were to get the ball up, like it in a pretty tricky shot to make, you kind of look at it and you go, oh, that's going to cut off.
That's a huge shot.
Tons of the time here, but it's going to be very tricky to get that shot off. So maybe I'll just kind of stick with going this way or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like water traps. There's bits of TNT, which if the ball hits them, they'll explode. The ball will bounce off them and they'll explode and then you've got a path cleared. But then one of your cards is just like automatically detonate the TNT so that the path is already cleared for you. So you're saving a shot. So it's all about obviously getting good at the shots, but then also, yeah, managing your cards.
Yep.
Keeping an eye on how many shots you've got left. Because, yeah, once you hit zero, if you don't make it in that par of five or whatever, when you get down to zero, then you're back to the start of the
end of your whole run, yeah.
And are you getting permanent upgrades throughout as well, or is it just kind of the getting money somehow and buying these cards?
I think it's just the cards.
I think you're unlocking new cards that will come
up. Oh, sure, yeah, yeah.
You buy, like when you get to a shop, you can buy a card to have in your deck, or you can buy like a booster pack, which I think every now and then is bringing up new ones that are then in the rotation for you to possibly get. Cool. It's great.
Yeah, it's really like fun.
Looks great. Music's great.
Yep.
The golfing mechanics are spot on.
Yeah, fun, quirky little writing for the characters. Yep. You know, there's no issues there. Like, you know, the whole presentation is really fun.
And you're playing it on PC, Ben?
Yes.
And yours on Switch, Tommy. How does the Switch run?
Switch has been fine. It did have a lot of issues when it launched with, there was some weird thing with the boss. I think the first boss was making people's game crash, but I believe they've fixed that up now.
Right.
Okay, I got up to the boss, the first boss the other night and had no issues with it. So
we're at the point with the Switch where even with like indie games and stuff, it's worth checking in on after Cult of the Lamb. I think I'm going to like maybe buy that again on the PC because I really liked it and the Switch was a little fucked.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, runs like a dream on the PC.
Yeah.
I'm buying all my indie games on PC. But yeah, really, really enjoyed this. It has enough difficulty to it that it only, quote unquote, only being 18 holes, you know, for the entire run is not that much of an issue. I did find
there's
myself
so little room for error. I think there's way less room for error than in. I've gone back and been playing Hades as well this week.
Yep.
And that style of game is like you really need to be on it. And same with like something like Death's Door, that similar sort of hack and slashy kind of thing. Even though it's a roguelike.
Well, because like Returnal has like six levels or something, right? Yeah. And is fucking hard.
Yeah, I've played it for 50 hours and I've only got to the third.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is, I mean, you have your cards, but you you make one or two bad little shots.
Yeah.
And then you can use a card to get yourself another little, shot on the par.
Or a go again, you get a mulligan card, which is very useful. But
once you've gone through them, you're fucking in trouble. Like, you really do have to get it. It makes you get really good at the, I was really struggling with that to begin with, making a lot of really dumb shots there.
Yeah.
Just assuming I should use the driver for literally everything and being like, hey, maybe sometimes it's a better technique to use the wedge. Just do a little shot over to there.
Yeah.
Get a load of Miss Daisy over here. All about that driver.
He's driving. I like that it is a roguelike game that is not a frenetic, stressful game. It is specifically about patience, essentially. Right. And it does the difficulty really. Oh, I was going to say, I found myself collecting cards like bloody primary school kid on Pokemon card
day.
Yeah,
we can all picture what that would be like.
Right?
I remember. Look at all these cards.
Yeah. Fuck, that must mean you're getting a lot of cards if you think it was like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I was collecting cards like the victim of a 52 pickup prank.
Okay.
Right?
I was collecting cards like I worked at a postcard shop. And I was collecting them all to sell them at my postcard shop.
Okay, okay. You don't buy them or?
I do. I collect. What? You don't go and you click and collect. You can buy stuff. And
oh,
collect
true,
it.
True, true.
I was collecting cards like the Tinder swindler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Credit card fraud.
Credit cards.
Or like fucking bloody. What am I? Catch me if you can.
I was collecting cards like. I was the underneath of a seat on a tram getting all my keys falling down there.
Yep.
I was collecting cards.
I was collecting cards like a psychopath at a business networking lunch.
That's good. Yeah. That's a really good
that
one.
That might
that's
be the best
that's
one.
That's a really
I'm
good
happy
one.
I'm happy to have that as the button.
That's pretty good, yeah.
I was getting so many cards that it did make that first biome, the first batch of six, feel kind of easy after I'd stopped rushing every right. you know, hit. But the difficulty does spike quite a bit in that second one. So
and you're talking roguelike, baby. The first bit getting easier, second bit being hard again and seeming insurmountable. Rinse and repeat times 18.
Yeah, that's but it. Yeah, highly recommend this. It's a pretty cheap game. Give it a crack if it sounds good.
These both sound like fun as fuck games.
Yeah. Awesome games. Don't fucking bother with your Saints Row.
Don't worry about it.
These are a fraction of the price and infinitely more fun and creative. And yes. Yeah. It doesn't matter if the AAAs are fucking boring and not putting the effort in when you got little cunnies making wonderful games like these two.
Well, I think next week we got another big hitter versus little pitcher one where I think you and I, Ben, at least are both interested in that immortality game.
Yep, it's on Game Pass. I've installed it.
Fuck, is it?
Yeah.
I Googled that shit and then fucking bought it because it didn't look like it was.
It came out to yesterday, I think.
I'm going to fucking eat someone's lunch. Level it out again.
He's hangry. by the maker of Her Story, which is a game that I have not played, but I did buy intending to play.
Imagine that.
But this one is getting buzz. It's getting great reviews. Yeah. And it's just come out, so it's perfect for us to play it for the show.
I would love to get some time in with that.
Immortality, if anyone didn't catch the name.
Available on Game Pass.
Yeah.
Fucking. and also... Last of Us Part 1 comes out again.
Yep.
And I think we're all going to play that because we're journalists.
Yeah. As it's getting closer, I don't know that I am.
Don't know that I need to play it now.
I just played it too recently. I played it...
You see, I'm actually kind of excited to play that game again, and I'm not under any illusions that I'll be like, wow, it's brand new.
Well, I just replayed The Last of Us 2.
Yeah. Right.
Like 2 weeks ago.
I think I'm going to
play. The other thing for me is
one.
I go away 2 days after it comes out and we'll be doing this remotely anyway, so it's like, well.
I found it very difficult to do. You know what? I'll have played Last of Us by next week.
I might buy it. I mean, I intend to play it at some point in my life again, so I might buy it to see what the experience is like.
Yeah.
Just at that first
Even if not,
hour
we'll have a word from one of us next week on that.
First-hand account.
I am looking forward to seeing what the, like, press consensus is, which I imagine will have to be a lot of, like, it's a great game.
There's a couple reviews out already.
Great,
yeah, I've seen
but
some.
But it's, you know, it
it's
is,
exactly what you think. Yeah,
yeah it's literally that. So far. I think I saw one headline. It might have been a Kotaku one that was like, this remake is not for people who've played it before. It is for new players.
Yeah.
Because it is just, you know, so faithful to what the original
this
game
is
was, it just looks better.
Totally. It's closer to, I don't know if maybe we even made this comparison when we've talked about this or something else in the past, but it's like how they do a Blu-ray re-release of a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's the same fucking movie.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It looks better.
Yeah.
And, but we will talk about that. But you know what? Yes. I know exactly what we'll say. It's a good game.
Yeah.
If you haven't played it before, this is the one to play. If you have played it before but you want to replay it, then think about if the money's worth for you. If you have played it and you don't want to replay it, then of course don't buy this.
Oh, yeah. Sick. Let's take next week off.
Yeah, just clip that out, put it back up.
Yeah.
And Immortality. Yeah, pretty good. A little pretentious maybe, but I enjoyed it.
Game of the year for me. That's what I'm predicting.
All right, let's wrap it up there for another week. Thank you very much for joining us. Filthycasuals.com.au. You can get on our Patreon, get a bonus episode every week.
Yeah, I reckon I'm going to binge watch the first two episodes of The Lord of the Rings, The Ring of Rings of Power.
Same.
Dropping the first two on Amazon, apparently, tomorrow.
A $1 billion show.
Yep. So
to have three people who... think of it as their job to go and watch things like this, be like, don't know.
I know. I'm so curious though. Like, it is.
I know. I
such
hope
a big
it's
swing.
Good.
Yeah.
I watched a 3-minute summary of the Silmarillion.
Oh, good.
So I feel as though I've got the background knowledge now to go in.
I read it when I was like 12. So yeah, about the same, probably. Yeah.
More goth? Yes, please.
Yeah, check don't all that stuff out. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time. As we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Big chungus. I'm going to go listen to that now. I want to know.
Yeah, yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership.
Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.